Hello, I'm Dr. Stephen M. Strakowski. I'm a professor at the University of Cincinnati in the Department of Psychiatry, and I'm also a senior vice president in our affiliated health system, charge of strategic planning. Today I want to talk to you about programmatic approach to managing bipolar disorder. In particular, we're going to mainly focus on developing a systematic follow-up appointment to manage this complex illness. So bipolar disorder, by its very nature, is very dynamic, and it's very easy to get caught in the bipolar pattern of symptoms and to find oneself chasing symptoms and chasing the constant changes in the condition rather than proactively managing the illness and in the process teaching our patients how to also proactively manage their symptoms and their concerns. To do that, then, I think it really requires a structured approach to managing appointments. Now, when thinking about these, it really requires some background that I'm going to assume that we've already done. This involves first a comprehensive assessment of the illness to make sure we understand the bipolar condition, that it's truly bipolar disorder, that we have family history substantiating the condition, that we know about drugs and alcohol use and medical problems and other things. Additionally, that we've done ongoing, and I'll talk about this more in a minute, ongoing safety assessments to understand what are the risk factors for suicide or other dangerous behavior. Some point prior to setting appointments, we want to set up clear treatment goals so that we know what we're trying to accomplish. We want to have built a support network for the patient. And then we want to make sure we're using our appointments to effectively manage symptoms. So with that kind of background information, we're going to then talk about how do we create a meaningful appointment so that we get the work done that's necessary to manage this complicated illness. I think in the current medical environment where we're often pressed for time, this becomes really important for these complicated patients. So the first step, it's important for us to be friendly, and we want to engage in friendly conversation, but we do want to be careful at the very beginning that we don't let just random chit-chat kind of eat up the entire appointment, often which is limited to 20 or 30 minutes or even less in some settings. And so again, there's a fine balance that each of us has to strike to be clear that we enjoy meeting with our patients and we're friendly to them, which is why we do this work, but that we also are here for a professional reason to get down to business to manage bipolar disorder. Once that's kind of set, one of the key features of managing bipolar disorder is to develop some kind of mood chart in which the patients each day are recording their worst depressive symptoms or their worst manic symptoms or any other key symptoms that we're working on so that when they come to appointments, it's all graphically quick to lay out. There's a number of these available online. There's even some phone apps. Ones I like to use, you can purchase from the Depression and Bipolar Support Alliance. I think they're $1 each. And using these, you get patients, first of all, used to recording their symptoms and keeping track of things themselves. But second, it provides a quick overview of how someone's doing. It adds some metrics to the appointment and allows you and the patient to collaboratively work together to see if treatments are working. Once that part is done, where we've reviewed the mood chart, we've seen since our last appointment how things have been going. At that time, it's important to evaluate safety, evaluate any suicidal risks or triggers or protective features towards suicide to make sure our patient is safe to continue to be managed as an outpatient. Within the mood chart, I often have people record whether or not they're following their medications. I think I've found that it's easier for them to admit to missing medications when they're checking a box on a form than when they have to verbally bring it up for the first time. And so then we can non-judgmentally look at why medicines are being missed, if the regimen's too complicated, if there's some feature in their life that makes it hard to take. And also we will quickly be able to relate how symptom changes often follow medication misses. During this evaluation, this part of the discussion, it's important to review side effects, which often are part of why medicines aren't being taken. And it's really critical for us to ask about sensitive side effects or embarrassing side effects, for example, sexual dysfunction, which is common with many of these medicines, that people often won't spontaneously bring up, but will stop taking the medication because of it and disappear from treatment. So it's really sort of depends on us as the care provider to ask those points. Just because you're a psychiatrist, don't forget to do a medical review of systems, making sure there's nothing new going on. Always ask about drugs and alcohol and cigarette use, of course. And then one of the key parts of this process, and I often build this into the mood chart, is to develop regular good health measures, particularly, again, for bipolar patients where social and circadian rhythm disruption can be a major precipitant in episodes. Build in a record of how much sleep each night the person's getting, what time maybe they're going to bed and getting up if you have to. When are we getting exercise? What kind of diet are we following? Keep track of weight, of course, as many of our medicines change how we eat and can cause weight gain. And so develop, again, within this chart, which can be fairly quick and managed with a few minutes each night by our patient, but can really help us in the appointment look at the longer term course of illness. I can't overemphasize how important I think these mood charts are. They really help us think about how a medication is working, since it's rare our medicines work quickly and we really need longer data to determine how useful they are. As I think about these and I talk to patients about them, it also gives them a chance to really feel like they're now in control and monitoring their symptoms rather than just being driven by them. I also remind my patients and ourselves, because we're emotional beings as human beings, we tend to interpret our world by our current mood state. And so in the absence of a 30-day history of what my symptoms have really been like, I'll tend to recount them based on how I'm feeling now. And if I'm having a bad day, I can recount it much more negatively than it was. And conversely, if I'm having an unusually good day, I may recount the last month as being better than it really was. And so this steady history of recorded in a mood chart can be very, very helpful. Once we've done that, then we really get into the treatment part of the appointment. And again, that first mood chart review and the stuff that I've talked about so far really only takes a few minutes unless there's a lot of action around medication changes or within the person's life. When I talk about medication changes with patients, I really set a goal that we try to get everything managed by never exceeding three or more medications. There will be exceptions to that rule, but here's the reality is that our clinical studies rarely include two medications, but virtually almost never include three medications. And so once you get past two or three medications in a single patient, you've really ventured into a world where there is no scientific data or medical support, and the side effect risks increase. And in fact, if you need four or five medications, there's almost certainly two or three of them that aren't doing anything anyway other than adding side effects. So we set as a general rule a three med maximum. We try to then use our mood charts, our understanding that medications don't work immediately, to maximize benefit over time. And in each appointment then we'll evaluate, is this medication absolutely necessary? What's the benefit we've gotten from it? And if it's not benefiting, then we want to work on getting off of it and trying something else. With this systematic, deliberate approach, it's my experience that virtually all patients can be managed with three or more medications. They just have to be picked selectively, and we have to have a systematic trial and error process to decide if they're valuable. The final piece of the treatment part is, in each appointment, I encourage even psychopharmacologists to develop some cognitive behavioral skills, to develop some homework, to apply cognitive behavioral therapy, which is a very useful adjunct in the management of bipolar patients. Again, backbone mood stabilizers are critical, but the addition of therapies and social rhythm management and circadian rhythm management can go a long way towards that goal of minimizing medication exposure. Finally, even with all this action, I believe you really can still leave 5 minutes or so at the end of appointments, if not more, to ask questions. And I have every appointment end with me asking my patients, do you have any questions? Is there anything we've done today, any homework we've assigned or medication changes that you don't understand. One of the nice things about the new electronic medical records, and again, we all struggle with them, but one of the nice things is you can print out a series of plans that you can hand the person, then go over and answer questions at the end of the appointment. Again, each of us have to find our best way to manage appointments, but I think by being systematic, we introduce into a chaotic illness some predictability and don't chase symptoms, but manage them proactively. Doing so is only going to maximally benefit our patients, and ultimately that's our goal. If you're interested in this approach and want to learn more about it, I've actually written a book that was published by Oxford University Press. It's now on the screen, and you can buy that directly from Oxford or Amazon.com if you're interested. Again, I appreciate your time today. I hope that you found this useful, and thank you very much for turning to Medscape for psychiatric information and education. Thank you.